This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guests, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.
97 Gold presents Your Money with Fay Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Fay Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. How are you?
I'm wonderful.
A little
spring
warmer.
Spring is almost here.
I know, right? What is it like? I think St. Patrick's Day is, I'm really bad with math. I think it's a little less than 2 weeks, if my math is right.
Do you think it will be warm on St. Patrick's?
Oh, who cares? It's a celebration. If it's not warm on the outside, if you celebrate right, you'll be warm on the inside.
You're talking about green beer now. I know you are.
I didn't want to say it out loud.
Oh, okay. I should have said that. Oh, the leprechauns will be out.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, little green leprechauns are wonderful.
Yes. Oh, who doesn't love green leprechauns? They have cereal with green leprechauns. It's amazing.
That's great. I love their little hats, and I love all about it. But let me tell you something. I'm mad about the deal about Dr. Seuss. I might as well just tell you right now.
I know.
I love Dr. Seuss. I love green eggs and ham. I love all of them. My children read them. My grandchildren have them. And to say that it's racist, how can little Dr. Seuss be racist?
He's just a
funny little guy.
Yeah.
He's crazy looking.
Well,
how can that be racist?
Was it six books, I think, that they...
Yeah, that they're going to take off the market, and I don't believe it. Don't understand it. My grandchildren sure don't understand it.
Yeah, I love the fact... Well, first of all, everybody loves things that rhyme. It just makes everything fun.
It's right. A rhyme is cute.
Yeah.
So, and the green eggs and ham is my favorite.
It was the best. If you ever get into an argument with somebody, just throw out a couple of rhyming lines and it'll be over with. Everybody comes together over things that rhyme. It makes people happy. And then the other thing with Dr. Seuss is he always came up with those wonderful new words, especially in like the Grinch. You know, he called things like
the Grinch, yes.
The Pantukas and the Wambazookas and the weird. It's like, how do you even make up words? It was genius.
That's right. And the coloring, I love the art in them. I love all that, the crazy hat. Now, this, as you know, is Dr. Seuss week at school. My little grandson, the 5-year-old, has the Dr. Seuss hat, the whole deal, the cat on the front, the hat. He's wore the crazy clothes this week for Dr. Seuss. Today he has on a costume with glasses on, and it looks like it's a bright blue.
Ooh.
And I don't know which Dr. Seuss character it is, but he's got to be one of them. But he's been a character every day this week. And tomorrow is sock day. You have to wear the long Dr. Seuss socks.
Really?
Oh, yeah, you got to do it every day. It's a whole week of Dr. Seuss.
Now, I can get into this. I didn't even know this was a thing, but I could get into this.
It's so much fun. And I asked him, I said, well, did the little girls in your class have on their hat costume? He said they forgot.
Really?
The little girls forgot.
Uh-oh.
So I can't imagine they could forget, because you had to wear a costume every day this week, and it had to be a different one of the, you know, the characters in the books.
Yeah.
And so every day he's wore something. And crazy day was yesterday. He wore one shoe of one kind, one of another, socks that didn't match, red pants, a plaid shirt. I mean, it was a crazy day, all right.
You know, now that I think about it, I think that's just about every day for me, because It's always.
You're going to do that every day, huh?
I just do it anyway.
Wow.
I didn't
don't
even know it.
Out in public. Stay home. If you look that way, don't go out. They will put you away. They'll come with the net. The guy with the little net, they come around and get people like you.
They're real, aren't they? They're not just in books.
That's right. They're real. They'll come get you. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, boy. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
So what's the state of money? Because I know that we look at you know, things that are going on in the market. We look at things that are going on with investments. And that's what this is all about, since it is your money. Not your money. It's other people.
It's their money.
Their money.
Their money.
But, you know, people are looking at new things. There's a lot of stuff that's really uncertain right now. I know there's, you know, uncertainty about, you know, not only the market. I hear people talk about, you know, things that may be coming up. There are specific dates that I've heard. And I don't know if a lot of these people are just making up rumors, or if they're just, you know, saying things like, hey, on this date, there's going to be a financial event or whatever, or if it's there's any truth to it. But I feel like a lot of people are just like, look, I've had enough of the ups and downs, the uncertainties, and so they're looking for other alternatives. So what do you see when you look at the market?
I opened some new accounts this week, and I can tell you people are uncertain. But let me tell you what I read yesterday. And, you know, I always report to you the things I read that I think are important. Mm-hmm. Hertz has sold. As you know, they've been in bankruptcy. And the people that are buying them are not going to pay the shareholders.
What?
They're paying billions for it, but they're not going to pay the shareholders. I never heard of such. They're not going to get $1. This is a horrible deal. Horrible.
I did not know that
public companies, if they declare bankruptcy and then sell it, they don't have to pay the shareholders. I've never heard of that.
I didn't even think that was an option.
I didn't either. I thought you had to pay the stockholders. But they said, unless it was a lie, and, you know, always verify, they said that the Hertz stockholders would not get one dime out of this.
So then what happens to all the stockholders? Are they just out?
They lose. They lose all their investment in that stock.
Wow.
Yeah. So people beware and verify this. Check this out. If you have a company that you're invested in and they go broke, and they sell, because, you know, there's been a lot of them have declared bankruptcy. So what I'm curious about, if they go ahead and find a buyer, are the other people going to get paid, or are they going to pull the same stunt and said, oh, you don't get anything?
Man, I wonder if this is going to set like a really – this might be an eye-opening experience. I don't think that we've ever heard of this happening before, have we?
I have never heard of that happening. I always thought the stockholders got something, even if they were in bankruptcy – you know, whatever they settled on. And we've got a lot of these big companies that went into bankruptcy, and several of them have sold now. You know, they actually sold out to somebody else. But that was the first time I'd ever heard of that. But Hertz said yesterday on the website that I was on that the stockholders would not get anything.
Man.
And I don't understand that.
I wonder if that's going to set a bad precedent.
They're going to pay the creditors. You know, the banks, this type of people, they have first choice, but the stockholders don't. So the people that had loaned them money, looks like they'll get some money. But the stockholders are way back there. They're not going to get anything.
Wow. That's...
So everybody that's got stock, if some of them go broke, you need to think about that.
Yeah. I mean,
you're going to get anything, or whether they'll just say, you know, I'm sorry. The banks get first choice, and that's what they were saying on this. The banks will get paid. I don't know if it'll be 100%, but they're going to get some money. But they said stockholders don't get anything.
Wow, because there's not enough. Is there just because there's not enough left over? Or
I guess the bank gets theirs first. And they said, no, we will not be paying the stockholders.
Wow.
That got my attention.
Yeah, I imagine it's probably got a lot of people's attention. I
didn't know they could do that. I thought that the stockholders would get a percent and the banks would get a percent.
I don't even think there's really ever been any question. Nobody's
The lien holders obviously have first choice on the money.
Wow.
you know, the people that loan them the money have first choice.
That's just, it's shocking.
It is shocking. Now, the ones that have come out of bankruptcy and are still in business, those, we know the stockholders will get something. But the ones that sold, I just don't understand it, you know. And there's so many of them in bankruptcy right now.
It's an, I'm sure.
A lot of the restaurant chains, a lot of the fast food restaurants, and Victoria's Secret, you know, they've been closing things as fast as they can.
Yeah.
And Ruby Tuesday says they're coming back out of bankruptcy.
Oh, really?
That's what it said. Hmm. But a lot of them are just closing. I saw several big retailers that just, like Fry's here in Dallas, they just closed everything. They've been in business 36 years.
Really?
And they just suddenly closed every store overnight.
Wow. No notice or anything. Just closed.
Yeah, there was no notice given. They just closed.
Man.
So that could hurt a lot of people. Depending on if you've got several of those people that went into bankruptcy, it could hurt you quite a bit.
I got to say, I'm honestly shocked that could even happen.
Yeah. And I never had thought about it, that the banks have first liens on everything they've got. Because, you know, most of them up till now weren't going bankruptcy until this virus hit. And there's a lot of restaurants, as you know, they just went into bankruptcy and closed them down. And those, of course, won't get anything because there's nothing left to get. So being in the stock market is not always just a blessing. You know what I mean? It can turn out to be a bad situation if you've got enough of the bad stocks.
Wow.
So I don't know how you manage to have the good ones that don't go into bankruptcy, you know?
I'm just absolutely shocked.
Yeah, it's shocking to know that the stockholders don't have first choice.
Wow. Do you think this is going to be like just the first of many, since people know that they can get away
with it? I hope it's the only one that pulls that. I hope the others, that the lender gets some, and then the stockholders get some, you know, a little bit anyway.
Wow.
Something back on their investment. Now, the ones that go into bankruptcy and come back out, they're going to, you know, reissue stock. So it'll be a different amount. You're not going to get 100%. You're just going to get so many cents on the dollar. But you'll get something. But this deal, they said they weren't going to give them a dime.
Man, I bet that's got to create.
And it's a big company. Hertz is a big company.
Yeah. Man.
You know, it's not some little bitty namby-pamby company.
You think that'll create a new sense of uncertainty and, I don't want to say panic, but maybe cautiousness?
I would think it would cause a lot of cautiousness if they tell you, as a stockholder, I'm sorry, you're not getting anything on this stock. You know, if you had 300,000 in it or half a million or a million, doesn't matter. They're wiping that out.
Wow.
And they're selling it. And only people that will get anything will be the banks or, you know, whoever loaned them the money.
Wow.
And they'll get something, but nobody else is going to.
Man, that's got to be. I don't think anybody probably, this probably wasn't on anybody's radar that this, you could even do something like this. So people are probably thinking to themselves, here's a new opportunity to lose money, and there's literally nothing anybody can do about it.
Yeah, I mean, there isn't anything you can do. They're just telling you. You know, that your stock is worthless.
Wow. I bet that's incentive for people to start looking for new alternatives if they haven't already had the uncertainty of past events or the just general market uncertainty in general. Knowing that this is even possible, especially like you said, with so many other companies, you know, filing for bankruptcy. It's just like, my goodness, here's another thing we need to worry about when it comes to, I guess, traditional stock investments.
That's right. When you're in the stock market, if you're unsophisticated, lots of times you don't even know. You know, yeah, you're relying on somebody else, and they're not going to tell you, or they should tell you, everything you need to know. Like, if this company goes bankrupt, do I get my money? If it does this, do I get paid? If I'm in a mutual fund, you know, they've shut down a lot of mutual funds lately. And I don't know, some of them returned all the money to the people, and some of them didn't. But the ones that returned all their money, they're safe. They're going to be all right. But several of them had some big losses, so they said, we're just shutting them down, you know.
You know,
but it says that the average person is really going to get hurt on the Hertz deal because a lot of them had it in their 401ks.
I mean, a lot of people had virtually everything in that, all their eggs in one basket.
And that's what happens. A lot of people, you know, they don't even know what they've got because they're in a 401k and somebody else is calling the shots.
Yeah.
Or, like a lot of the people that come to me, they haven't even looked to see what all they have.
Yeah.
You know.
But a lot of people are panicking and checking right now.
And they better be checking and say, you know, what do I really have?
Yeah.
And, you know, I know I would be looking if somebody else was handling my money. That's what always scares me.
Wow.
They let somebody else handle it, and they don't know what they're in, you know?
That's just, it's shocking to me that that's even, it's almost like, you know, it feels like being caught off guard, knowing, oh, here's another risk that we didn't even know about. And so I wonder if people are going to really start to not only look at their current portfolio, if they are in the stock market, but they're also going to take some of that and say, hey, look, this is too much. And so when something like that happens, I know people start to, you know, say, well, geez, there are no other alternatives because if this is all there is. But I guess that's probably a great time to highlight, you know, some of the benefits of being in a life settlement. As opposed to the stock market, because those things that they're not even it's not even an option. It's not even possible, literally.
Well, one of the hedge fund managers said, uninformed retail investors may learn some difficult lessons in the coming weeks.
That's for sure. Wow.
And it says, how could they even hold any value after they announced this bankruptcy plan? And
wow.
It said, investors are naive.
Yeah. Jeez.
They've got a plan to come out of bankruptcy, but it will wipe everyone out.
Wow. And that's a lot of money, too. I mean, that affects things. That's a ripple effect.
But the shareholders will own no stake in the new company.
Jeez.
It says it's typical in a bankruptcy process of large public companies. And I didn't know that. I didn't know that these companies were doing that.
Me neither.
It said... it's going to be worth zero. At closing, it was $1.18.
Ooh.
$1.18.
That's it.
And they gave up $185 million market value.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
That's a pretty big chunk.
Yeah. And, of course, none of the sophisticated institutions still own our stock. Does that tell you something?
Wow.
It's just the poor people in the 401ks. And individuals that got hit.
So a lot of people got out early, but left the, quote, little guy.
The institutions did.
Yeah.
They got out before all this hit.
Left all of us holding the bag.
That's right. Everybody else, the average Joe, it said, is going to get hit really hard in the coming weeks by several of these companies like this.
So there's going to be more of these, do you think?
That's what they're saying.
Wow.
Because a lot of them are going to sell out. And there's going to be just enough money for the banks.
Yeah.
Won't be any money left, you know, for the stockholders.
They'll look at this as a new precedent setter, and this may be in the new trend. So what do you do now? What if somebody's in the stock market and they're looking at some of these companies? Are there any companies that are, like, first and foremost that people need to, one, check on that are, you know, top of the line? And two, what if somebody's in that situation? What would you recommend?
Well, I would certainly be checking what I had, make sure it's not some company that's fixing to go under, because you certainly don't want to lose your money. You don't want to say, well, I've got three of them, and I just lost all of that, you know, because there's so many of them. Look in your portfolio. See how many of these you've got in your portfolio that have declared bankruptcy. If you do, you're fixing to have some big losses.
Wow. This is a really big deal. I don't mean to spend so much time on this, but my goodness, this is a really, really big deal. This has really never been done before.
I don't remember ever knowing about it. If they did, they weren't telling anybody, because I never realized, I guess I wasn't thinking, that if they go into bankruptcy, you know, usually there's 3 cents on the dollar, 50 cents on the dollar, a dollar, whatever. And they're saying, no, no, we're not giving you anything. But they're going to turn around and sell it for $5 billion, enough to pay the banks. Now, does that make any sense?
Seems a little top-heavy to me.
I mean, the banks will get a lot of money, but the shareholders won't. The lawyers will get a lot of money to handle it, by the way.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
The lawyers will be in hog heaven.
But then...
So always think about this and look at what you've got. Look at who's running things for you and see how you stick up and look at what stocks you've got. If you've got any of these that have filed bankruptcy, are they going to come back out of bankruptcy and sell and leave you holding the bag? Are they going to reorganize? Hopefully you don't have any of these. Hopefully everything you've got is solid gold.
Wow. You think this is one of these events that people have talked about for a while, these little hints that we were referencing, or is this something completely different? Was this off the radar or on?
Well, you know, it's been happening in the last 2 or 3 months, and none of us realized, you know, how serious it was, that a lot of them are not coming back, or if they do, they sold out, and you don't get anything, which I did not realize that.
Interesting.
Average Joe Blow will not get one dime.
So what other options are there for people who say, hey, this is a big deal. It's time to reassess. It's time to refocus.
I would take my money and run today. Today I would say, give me my money. Let me go do something else. In case any people are thinking about going bankrupt, don't let me get involved. Let me get out first. Then you go into declare bankruptcy, okay?
Oh, wow.
Oh, my gosh. Don't do it today. Let me get my money first.
Yeah. Jeez.
Oh, my gosh.
So with life settlements, when people invest in a life insurance policy, this is not a concern at all.
No. It's not a public company. We're not doing business with public companies. We're just buying policies from individuals, and we're buying them from with people that have good policies. They're with insurance companies. They're A and double A rated. And none of them are going broke. It's not like the retail stores that are going broke every day right now. It's not like the restaurant chains and the burger chains, you know, that are not coming back.
Yeah, they're gone forever.
Thank goodness we're dealing with insurance companies only. And they've got reserves. They've got all kinds of money. They can pay their claims. I'd rather be doing business with them right now than anybody else, because I know we'll get the principal and interest every time anybody passes away. So I think it's safe. To me, it's a safer investment and more conservative right now. I would not want anything that's a public retail store. I would look at my portfolio this morning. I'd say, okay, do I have any burger chains on there? You know, do I have any restaurants in there? How about retail? Get all the retail stock out. Get all the Burger Kings out. You know, whatever brand it is. And all these that have been filing for bankruptcy, you don't want any of those.
Burger King's on the list?
No, I use that as a for instance.
Oh.
I'm saying a burger shop.
I got you.
But, you know, yeah, just a burger shop, not Burger King. Burger shop. Not Burger King.
I'm like, wait a minute. I don't remember that one. Okay.
But Wendy's was on the list to be critical. They were worried about Wendy's.
Really?
And Ruby Tuesday's, you know, it went under. A lot of these other places are closing because, as I said, they went into bankruptcy. Some of them couldn't sell, and when they couldn't, you know, they just started closing all these all over the country. And I was trying to think of the men's store that went under.
Brooks Brothers?
Brooks Brothers went under, and I don't know if it resold or not. And several of those big men's stores, ladies' stores, like Victoria's Secret. They've already closed 50 stores.
Have they really already done closed?
They've closed 50 of them.
Jeez. And there's more to come.
Yeah. Yes, there's more to come. And like Godiva Chocolates. They're closing everything in the United States.
Godiva Chocolate.
Godiva Chocolate closing everything in the United States. So if you're going to play the stock market, be sure that these are companies that are not in the retail business, you know,
wow.
that can be taken down real easily because you don't want to lose your money.
So it seems like the risks with Wall Street are just getting higher and higher, and the potential pitfalls are getting more and more than probably anybody ever really expected. I mean, we've always talked about how, you know, being in the stocks, it's a risky business. It's you never know. Nothing's
it
ever guaranteed.
Risk, and we don't think of it on a day-to-day basis because we don't own a stock. And only when it's brought to our attention that these people have all declared bankruptcy do we realize what the risk really is. Because on any given day, a billion-dollar retail store can close and just say, I'm sorry, and you know, we're through.
Yeah, and then you're just out.
That's right. And people like Macy's, which is a really great store, they're closing all these in the malls. They're closing all the stores in the malls. So you don't know what kind of shape financially these big companies are in that are closing all these stores, do we?
Do you think that, and this might be a little bit too far out there, but once things, I mean, because they say that, you know, vaccines and all that is going to start turning things around and people will start reopening. And I mean, obviously, I know the situation with Texas, but, you know, as far as the rest of the country, when they, you know, start getting back to, I guess, business as usual, which they say might be coming second half of this year. When we do sort of get back to normal, do you think there's going to be a turnaround, or do you think it's going to be a while before the fallout, kind of like a domino effect, before it actually stops and turns around? I'd imagine
well,
it won't
know,
be immediate.
Because, you know, here in Texas, although they said next Wednesday, you know, nobody would have to wear a mask. I think it's too soon. I am still going to wear a mask for another 60 days. I know a lot of restaurants are still going to require masks. I've talked to a lot of people that are still requiring it of their employees because everybody wants to be safe. And I don't think enough people have been vaccinated yet to keep us all safe. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I personally am going to wear a mask. I am not going to the grocery store. And this is a personal thing, you know, because I think that it's too soon. I don't want to go out and mix with everybody yet. You know, I just don't want to go mix it up.
We won't go out until faces. It's okay to throw down with other people.
That's right. I mean, be careful out there. And, you know, what's it going to hurt? We've been a mask this long. A couple more months isn't going to hurt us.
Oh, yeah. That's
you know,
true.
They don't have everybody vaccinated. Let's just be cautious and be safe. And Texas will open, you know, slowly, I think, and everything will be fine. And I think the restaurants need it so bad, it's ridiculous. Because a lot of them are already out of business. I know a lot of them that are closed.
Mm-hmm.
Every time I turn around, there's something else closed. But the ones that are still open, you know, I know they're going to open cautiously to that 100% mark. They're going to require masks for a while. So it's not going to be just overnight.
Wow. So it's going to take a little while. Even once we get the green light, everything is okay. Everything is back to normal. Business is as usual. It's still going to take a while because things have to happen. It's like trying to turn a semi around on a dime. You just can't do it. It takes a little bit of time. So there is going to be a little bit of, I guess, financial consequences. Maybe that might not be the right word, but it won't be immediate. The recovery is not going to be like flipping a switch.
No, it will not be just like turning the switch on and off. I think everybody needs to be cautious. It's going to take some time, but it's going to work, and everybody's going to start making money again. A lot of people that haven't made a dime, I don't know how they stayed in business. I'm glad they have, and you know, everybody's going to go to these places and do business with them. Everybody tells me a lot of the stores, they saw how much money they can make just online, that they may not have retail stores anymore.
Yeah, a complete shift in the business plan.
It is. The business plan's going to be different than it's ever been. People are going to make a profit, but a lot of it, they're going to make it online. They're not going to make it at a freestanding store. It's just like, you know, Belk has declared bankruptcy. They're the only ones I thought was doing good all this time. They managed to stay open, but now they have filed bankruptcy.
What about the jobs that go with the, you know, because obviously to have brick and mortar locations, you've got to have a number of people at each of, you know, either hundreds or maybe thousands of store locations. As those go online and those jobs get eliminated and those people are displaced, is there an opportunity for those, for like a refocus to replace them with something that's more along the online model, or do you think there's still going to be eliminations?
I think it's going to have to be. I don't think you'll see great big stores anymore. I think you're going to see out of the mall, people are going to get out of those dadgum malls and not pay that huge rent. They're going to be, you know, freestanding, smaller stores and do the same business and be a lot more successful.
Do you think, and I'm just going to make up some random numbers here, but say you get a department store that had a brick and mortar location, they're moving to all completely 100% online. Say take one location, they had 100 people working at it. Are there going to be 100 online types of positions like customer service or order fulfillment or shipping?
It takes a lot of people to put them out and to get them sent out. It's just like Amazon is opening, you know, three locations here in Dallas, three big ones, another 500 people they're going to employ.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. It takes a lot of people to get all these things from their warehouse to us as individuals. It takes a lot of people, a lot of trucks, transportation, and they have to have the things locally in big places like Dallas to send out all over Texas. So I think there'll be a lot of jobs. It's going to be different, I think.
Okay, so
I don't think it's going to ever go back like it was.
So you don't see probably a lot of jobs, positions, let's say, falling through the cracks and just lost forever. There is opportunity for some lateral movements, maybe not with the same company, but other companies, you know, like one may scale back, but like Amazon, you say, would be expanding so people could go over there. I'm wondering about the job market and how this affects the big picture, I guess.
Well, I think jobs will be different than they were. I really do. The jobs that are never going to change is going to be your beauty shops, your barber shops, things like that. Service has to always, you'll have service people that are doing service things for us. And it's like doctors and vets and, you know, people like that. But even them, they're doing a lot of online stuff. You know, instead of having people come to the office, they're saying, we'll do a Zoom meeting and see what's wrong with you.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, you know,
we'll see what's wrong with you.
Yeah, see what's wrong with you. See if we can cure it or not. You know, I don't know.
I have noticed, now that you mention it, it sounds funny and we joke, but I have noticed an increase in like those online doctors. You get the app and you get on the screen share, and, you know, there's a number of them that are starting to pop up. I didn't even think about that.
And the other thing is you always have children's dentists, Lord. Everybody's got so many children and grandchildren, and they're at the dentist all the time. And it's such a big business. They charge so much to do dental work for kids. I mean, Lord, we should send all of our kids to dental school, I guess. And because it costs a lot of money to go to the dentist.
We should all become pediatric dentists.
That's right, pediatric dentists. You're saying it right.
And that was a mouthful, trust me.
That's right. But, like, you take all the insurance companies, that's all online.
Yeah.
You don't ever go see them anymore. You know, there's so many things that's going to change. I hope it'll be very, very successful, even though you won't see people like you used to.
Yeah, and it's interesting because before all this happened, there was already, I guess, the shift from going to like the actual mall. We know mall visits, you know, have been way, way down in recent years. More people are going to online retailers and things like that. I wonder, you know, if that kind of set the groundwork so there was maybe a little bit of a head start, at least in retail, before all of this happened. So maybe
there was some, but not enough. If they'd had enough, if they could have seen it coming, they would have switched a lot of things, and a lot of them wouldn't have went under.
Yeah.
Because they had so much inventory. Think of this. They had inventory for hundreds of stores, hundreds, and people weren't going to the mall anymore. They weren't going in to buy trousers. They weren't buying jackets. And another thing they discovered that during this, you didn't need any clothes hardly because you weren't going anywhere.
That's true.
So that's what made retail go down so bad. people weren't buying like we were before. Because if you can't go anywhere, why would you buy new clothes?
That is true. You don't. You just wear your jammies
all day. Just get a pair of Levi's and some boots, and that's all you need. Levi's and boots.
Yeah. Or just live in your night pants.
That's exactly right. I know locally, I see all the news people, and they're still at home. They're not going downtown to those 70-story buildings to do the news and the weather. They're all at home.
That's
so
true.
So this tells you how much everything's changed. No, they're not going in.
Oh, I never thought of that.
No, they're not there at all. If you look at them when they're on television, you can see part of their living room. The other day, one of them was doing the weather, and his dog was on the sofa. I could see the dog. Dog was on the sofa, let me tell you.
Wow. So I would imagine then, okay, so here's one example of how this is actually transferring. So instead of going to the studio, those may be like closing. So those big office buildings may be closing down. They don't need it, or at least less space. On the other hand,
less space. A lot of people are saying, you know, we don't need that big building anymore.
Yeah.
We don't need to be paying all that. You know, we can have them doing it from a smaller location or from home.
Tons of overhead is saved, I'm sure, which could put people out of jobs. But on the other hand, at least in the since you mentioned the weather guy and the dog on the couch. On the other hand, there's opportunities for things like at least in like TV broadcasting and stuff, for like lighting stuff, you know, the tripods with the lights and the cables and the teleprompter business. I'm sure those are probably going through the roof because people are buying those to send to their employees' houses so they have all the right stuff to do this stuff to be on TV. I'm guessing. Maybe not.
I think so. And now they're saying you can buy your car. And they'll have it delivered. You don't even have to go to the dealership. Now, that's a blessing right there. Nobody likes to go to the dealership.
We should have done that 20 years ago.
We sure should have, because I'm going to tell you something. That's my least favorite place in the world. I don't want to go talk to a salesman. I don't want to deal with them.
Right.
I just want to buy the car and go. And, you know, the last few years, I've figured a way around it. And I just call them and tell them, this is what I can do. You call me back when you think you can do it, and then I'll buy it, and I'll pick it up, and that's it. I'm not going to do anything else. I'm not coming down there, and I'm not going to be jacked around by a salesman.
You know, it's so weird that you mention that, because now that you say that, there used to be a time where we would go to the dealership, we would take a test drive, and then, you know, try another one, and then try another one, and you'd be at a dealer for a while taking different test drives.
4 hours.
Yes, yes.
Yes.
And now it's just like, I don't even think we do test drives anymore. You just hear, I want this, deliver it, or whatever they do. They got a guy who does like a virtual, like he'll like get on his phone and he'll do like video thing. He'll say, this is what the inside looks like. This is the outside. He'll kick the tires for you. And you're like, okay, I'll take it. And you do all your paperwork online and boom, boom, boom.
That's right, and that saves a lot of time.
Geez, I didn't even think about that. Golly.
Yeah, so that's a big change right there, and that's a good change.
Yeah.
I'm sure they still have to have salesmen to handle the, you know, people online, but it's not like going in there. I've seen people just sit there for hours, and they'll run them back and forth and say, well, this is what I can get the manager to do. This is what I can get him to do. That's just, you know, not my type.
Yeah, I remember
I
that.
Yeah, I don't believe in that.
Of course,
years ago, I just quit doing it. I just said, I'm not going down there.
So
I have a deal, and I'm going to pay. I'm not going.
Really? And so you just tell them, here's what I'm going to do, and let me know when you can do it.
I say, if you can do it, call me, you know. And sometimes it would take, I remember years ago, it'd take 2 or 3 weeks, you know, with them calling me, and I'd say, no, I'm not going to do that. And when we finally had a deal, I'd say, okay, if you have it ready, call me, and I'll come run pick it up.
Wow.
And that's a good way to do business.
You know, I hadn't been outside in so long, I don't even remember how this works. I don't know how it works now.
You haven't bought anything in a long time, huh?
No.
Well, and that's the way it should be. It should be easy and simple, and it's just like food. You know, we order food to the house. We order our groceries to the house. And when this is all over and we go out in the sunshine again, it's going to be a whole new world.
Yeah. Do you think ever we'll sit back and say, gosh, we should go back to the old way? Or do you think this is like a transition for literally every way that we live our lives and do business in general? You think this is a complete shift that's going to be permanent?
I think it's going to be a big shift because we've been in so long. I know we not all have to get out. The guys have got to go play golf. A lot of them have played golf all the way through this, which is good. But I'm just saying, people are going to travel again. They're going to do things like that. But I think the retail is what's going to be the big hit because people are saying, I can just get that online. I don't have to do it that way. I think a lot of things will change the way we do.
Now, if somebody like Elon Musk can change travel so we don't have to take planes, we can just take time machines, that would be really great.
Yeah, I know. I heard about that. And they're going to build this big hotel up there. Are you going on the trip up there?
No.
Yeah.
I would like to, but I think I'm too chicken.
Okay. So you'll still be here with us when they're doing that.
Yeah. I'll watch other people do it online.
Okay.
That's as far as I'm going.
That's probably a good idea.
Yeah.
Well, see, if everybody during this time has been doing life settlements, they haven't had the stress, they haven't had all the worry all these other people have had, they didn't have to worry about if stocks were sliding or going bankrupt, or if they made a lot of money, or if they lost a lot of money, or if they're in mutual funds, if it crashed, you know, you don't have all that worry. You've got a nice portfolio. You're making money. You know you'll get your interest. You know you're going to get your principal. We roll it over and just do it again and again. It's a simple business. It's not complicated like all the things I've been talking about this morning. You know, it'll make people's head turn around thinking about all these things. But if you've got a simple way to do business, you get in these policies, you make 1% a month, you're going to make 24%, 9%, 12%, 30%, depending on how long it is. It's a short-term investment. It's not 15, 20 years. You know, some life settlements are. You can do those elderly people and, you know, be there forever. So, you know, we try not to do anybody past 74, 75. Most of the people we buy their policies are 55, 60 years old. So they're right in their prime when they get cancer. It's stage 4. They're not going to survive. And that's the only reason we do this, because it's a good, solid investment. People have been with us for years, and they've been rolling it over and rolling it over. That's why we've gotten so much new money in. People saying, you know, I want to make a change. I don't want to leave it where it's at. One guy told me this week he's been at the same place 17 years.
Really?
Yes. So they move their money with us, and they have ranching. He said they're going to have 500 head of cattle on his place.
Really?
For his retirement. And that's what he's going to do in retirement, just ranch and take care of his cattle.
So really, the bottom line is, no matter what the economy is now, what it will be in the future, what it has been in the past, people who are with you who have invested in life insurance policies have been making money. It's not rattled by any change in structure. It's not rattled by any thing that may happen in the stock market. You and people have been consistently making money the entire time because nothing affects a life settlement. It holds its
value.
That's
right. It doesn't matter what happens in Washington. In Washington, you know, some emergencies happen in Washington, D.C. every hour of the day.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there's things going on that we don't even want to know about. You know, I mean, it gets to the point where we don't even want to hear the news. So if we can just hunker down, you know, and live our lives, make some money, you know, go to church on Sunday, you know, take care of our family, eat chocolate pie, we're going to be all right.
That's the secret to life, chocolate pie.
That's the secret to life right there.
All right. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
And normally, a little earlier than this, we get into trivia this time on Saturday. So what's our topic this week?
We got carried away today, I'm afraid.
We did. We got to talk about some other jobs and stuff. So what's our topic this morning for trivia?
We're going to talk about Buck Owens. Do you remember Buck Owens?
Yes.
Yes. Buck Owens was born in Sherman, Texas. I did not know that.
Hmm.
He went to the first three grades in Garland, right outside of Dallas.
Really?
His real name was Alvis Edgar Owens, and his father and mother were farmers. And when he was 3 years old, he walked in the house one day and he said, "My name is going to be Buck." The family said, "Well, okay." And he became Buck at 3 years old.
Really? He determined that at three?
He determined that. He told him his name was Buck, and the family just said, okay. So then during the Depression, he was born in 1929. During the Dust Bowl, the Depression, they moved to Mesa, Arizona. And he found out he didn't like schoolwork, but he found out that he could take their mind off of what he wasn't doing by singing or performing. So he would get in all the plays. He would sing for them. He'd do everything he could to get out doing his homework. Okay? And then he taught himself all these musical instruments. I don't know how he was good enough to do it. He taught himself the guitar, the mandolin. Mandolin's hard to play.
Yeah, it is.
Horns and drums.
Really?
And his father took an old radio and turned it into an amplifier for him. And that's how he started out, with an old radio amplifier.
Really?
Yeah.
Now that's genius.
It was. And then quit school in the ninth grade to help out on the farm because, you know, they were poor people. And then in 1945, he started co-hosting a radio show. And it was called Buck and Brett.
Hmm.
And so then he formed the Buckaroos. And that's the Buckaroos is what he had all of his life. That's what they were called. And I don't know if you remember that, but that's who they were.
Mm-hmm.
And then he wanted to record a song, but he didn't want anyone to know in case it went real bad. So he did it under the name of Corky Jones.
Really? I didn't know that.
Corky Jones. And it was called Hot Dog. It was on the Pep label, which I've never heard of. He sang it with the Dusty Rhodes Band. And then he came along and he said, you know, I want to get on the radio and the television, and I want to get something going. So in 1959, his song Second Fiddle is what got him started.
Really?
And it hit number 24 on the billboards. And so then he recorded Under Your Spell again. I remember that one real well. And that made it to number four, and that's when Capitol Records came in. And so he went with Capitol Records, and from there on, the next thing he did in 1963, he took the Johnny Russell song, Act Naturally. Remember that one?
Oh, yeah.
And he didn't even like it, didn't want to record it.
What?
Yeah, he didn't even like it. And it was a single, and it became the first of his big hits, was Act Naturally.
Wow, a song he didn't even want to do.
He didn't even want to do. So then the Beatles recorded it in 1965, and Ringo Starr was the lead singer. And then later, Ringo said, let's do a duet on it. So in 1988, they re-recorded it together with him and Ringo Starr singing lead.
Neat.
Yeah. So then, of course, you know, he had his country band. Ray Charles said, you know, I want to release the two of your songs. So they became pop hits, and that was Crying Time and Together Again. And Ray Charles, you know, re-released those, and you know how popular those were.
Oh, yeah.
And then they went to Japan in 1967. I don't remember that. And they recorded the song called "His Buckaroos in Japan."
Really?
Yeah. And did you know it became a damn top song?
Really?
Yeah, there they were in Japan. I cannot imagine a country band, you know, in Japan recording it in 1967.
Yeah, I'm just having trouble picturing that, and I can't put all the pieces together.
Then 1968, he went to the White House, and Lyndon Johnson was president, and he performed for him. And then they later recorded that as a show.
You know, I saw some pictures, oddly enough, just the other day, his visit to the White House. Some of those popped up on, I think it was on Instagram somewhere. I forget where, but I was like, oh, wow, forgot about that.
Well, in one of his top songs, in 1969 was Tall Dark Stranger.
Yeah.
And Who's Gonna Mow Your Grass? I don't remember that one ever being worth anything, but it must have been.
We probably thought so at the time.
Yeah, and he did a version of Chuck Berry's song, Johnny Be Good.
Did he really?
He did. And I didn't remember they did that Johnny Be Good song. But he had 21 top hits.
Wow.
They Hee Haw, which we haven't even mentioned, Hee Haw ran 231 episodes.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And one of them that he recorded later was Looking Out My Back Door.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that one?
Wasn't it Creedence song?
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it was Creedence. And then he appeared on the Jimmy Dean Show, Dean Martin, Ed Sullivan, all these others. And he had a very successful career. You know, he owned a lot of radio stations. I didn't remember that. Did you?
Mm-mm.
Yep. He had about four radio stations, and he had one in Phoenix, had one in Bakersfield, naturally. He loved Bakersfield. He lived there for a while, and he always called Bakersfield his hometown.
Yeah. You know, they speaking of Hee Haw, they filmed that at one of the TV stations in Nashville on one of their stages. It's like the studios. When we were in Nashville, they still had some of the props.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, they were still in the back, and they kept them.
I didn't know where it was filmed.
Yeah.
Do you remember all those people that were on Hee Haw? All of them could really sing.
Yes, yes.
Even though they acted silly all the time, a lot of them had really beautiful voices.
Really talented people.
And Roy Clark was on there with him most of the time. And I love to hear Roy Clark sing also.
Man, that guy can set an instrument on fire. It was
he really could.
Wow.
And they would play together. I loved to hear them when they would do dueling banjos and play guitar together. They were really good.
Yes.
And I can't think of that lady's name that was on there. She was a large lady.
Dark hair.
Remember her? What was her name?
Oh, I can't remember. I know who you're talking about. Yeah.
But she sure could sing. She had a beautiful voice.
Yeah, she did.
But everybody was very talented, even though they pretended to be, you know, country bumpkins all the time. And had the straw in their mouth and all that, and the hay.
It was all part of the charm, I think.
It was the charm and the act. You know, the act must go on.
Yeah.
But I always really enjoyed that show. I don't know how many listeners they had, but I imagine it was way up there in their time slot.
Yeah, and I always associate that iconic red, white, and blue guitar with Buck Owens.
Yes, he was famous for that.
Yeah.
You know, he was married four times.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. Most of those old boys, you know, they were gone all the time, and I think the wives did not appreciate that.
That's a nice way to put it.
That was a nice way to put it. I think they got tired of that, you know.
Yeah.
They weren't ever around. But anyway, he had a wonderful career. He had 21 hits. He traveled all over the world. I can't believe country music in Japan. And then recording with the Beatles, I think, would be a big milestone.
Yeah, that's got to be huge. Especially, what would you say, 1968 they did that, or 7?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, right in the heart of Beatlemania.
Yeah, and then Ringo asked him to go ahead and re-record that one as a duet.
Yeah, that's amazing.
So they did that together.
Wow.
But there's nothing better than a good singer. I believe that.
Yeah, and you can always tell the ones who have really natural, really great vocal talent is when they can sit down with just a guitar and they sing and they just nail it and it just sounds so crisp and clear, and you don't have all the studio effects and things like that or even too many instruments to kind of bury, you know, if you're a little pitchy, you know, a huge horn section will help bury that a little bit. But, yeah, he was one of those you could sit down with a guitar and just his voice and just knock it out of the park.
They said that. A lot of times they just did two-part harmony, you know? And they had high voices, and it was really good. I mean, he was one of the best.
Yeah.
And I loved hearing anybody play guitar and just, like you said, just sing. And I don't remember if he was he on the Grand Ole Opry? Did he appear on it? I think he did.
I want to say yes, but I don't. Geez, I don't.
I don't remember.
I don't either.
But there was a lot of good people on that too that could really play.
Oh yeah, they could.
And I don't know where all this talent came from over the years, but most of them never took a lesson. They learned by themselves, and they were so good at it. It was amazing that they could play four or five instruments.
You know, that's a good point. And a lot of them taught themselves, too.
They did. Like, he was self-taught. A lot of the ones we've done stories about, all of them taught themselves to play guitar. Nobody, they didn't go and take lessons. I don't mean they had the money back then, because they were poor farmers. They didn't have the money for a lesson anyway.
Yeah, most people didn't.
And they taught themselves the chords and the notes, and from there it was history.
Yeah. Born right in the middle of the Depression, you said, 1929, right?
29, right in the middle of the Dust Bowl, and they had to leave Texas, and they went out to Arizona to live. And then later in life, when he was grown, he moved to Bakersfield. He never forgot Bakersfield. He talked about it in his songs. He retired to Bakersfield because apparently he really loved that town.
Yeah. It was such a, you know, to dig his way out of where he started and to become what he became, such an amazing story, you know?
Yeah, I mean, they started with nothing, very poor, and became very wealthy. He sold, several years ago, sold one of his businesses for $8 million.
Jeez.
I mean, after he quit performing, he bought all those radio stations everywhere, which was really a smart thing to do.
This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
And since we're talking about all those smart investments that Buck Owens has made over the years, before we wrap up, probably one of the smartest investments that people can do is literally get into life settlements because, like you said earlier, we're talking about quick turnarounds. We're talking about high profit margins. We're talking about a solid base because the funds are there. They've got the money. They've got the reserves to pay when the policy comes due. However, there are three major risks, and we always have to go over them. So what is the first big risk with a life settlement?
The first big risk is your policy can go over. That's why you want to be diversified. That's why you need several, because it could go over. It happens all the time. So that's your first risk. The next risk is, remember, it's not liquid till it matures. When it matures, it's liquid. You can do whatever you need to do. You can reinvest it. If you need to buy a new pickup, you can do that. Whatever you need to do. The third risk is if a life insurance company ever went under. It would take longer to get your money. We've never in Texas had a life insurance company go under. They haven't had one nationally in years because of the premium income. The income is so great you don't have to worry there, because somebody would buy it immediately. And we haven't even had one offered for sale in years. People love life insurance companies because they have more income than any other person in the world. And they're not in retail. They're in something that's, you know, very easy to do.
You know, and I'm glad you mentioned that, because this really kind of puts it all in perspective. It really kind of brings things full circle, because we spent the first half of the show talking about all the dangers and all the things that people are facing now, and risks in the stock market and investments that we didn't even know were even possible before. You listen to those, and then you hear these three risks with a life settlement, it almost seems like a no-brainer. It's just like, wow, these things are...
It is a no-brainer, because we're not in the retail business, we're not in the stock business, we're not in a public company, thank goodness. You know, so it makes sense to do something that's conservative right now. In fact, I would do something conservative the rest of my life.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to take unnecessary risks. And that's why I haven't been in the stock market all these years.
Yeah.
I would just die if some of these companies went under. You know, if I was in the stock market and they said, oh, stockholder, you're not going to get anything, I would not be happy.
Yeah, especially after investing for 10, 15, 20 years, and all of a sudden all of it was for nothing. Man.
Yeah, because, you know, Hertz, bring that up again, Hertz is a huge company.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how many stockholders. I should have looked that up and told you how many people it's going to affect.
Wow.
But I would think it's thousands.
All right, Faye. So I guess for people to get started, all they have to do is just call, and they can
they
open an account.
They need to call, make an appointment. We'll get them set up with Nevada Trust. It's always at the bank. The bank handles everything. The money is never in our account. It's always at the bank in their account. The bank handles everything. The bank is our trustee on everything we do.
Good deal. And one last time, Faye, what's your phone number for people to call and get started?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And AmericanFinancialMidland.com. Go to our website and check us out.
You've been listening to Your Money with Faye Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Faye Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold.
This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.